Okay, there, that's not so bad. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10 to keep you up to speed or get you up to speed. We're doing a sermon series on the I Ams that Jesus claimed of himself. I think we're maybe on sermon 4. If you've missed them, you can even check these online. And we have a website, rockyalliance.ca. Is that what it is? It's in your bulletin. I just have it on a favorite, so. Is that what it is? Can someone confirm that? It is? Awesome. Okay. So yeah, you can hear them online and keep up that way. So, which brings us to John chapter 10. So if you turn there with me, please. And again, just before we get into the passage, I'm going to pray and walk you through it. I'm not going to read the passage, but what I'm going to do is walk through the passage and then highlight the passage from there. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Good Shepherd. Lord, thank you for salvation through Christ, who self-claimed, I am the Good Shepherd. And Father, we ask that right now you'd open our eyes to see this. Father, that if we already think we see it, Lord, that maybe for the first time we really would. And Father, for some of us, that we would just see it more clearly and leave today praising you for who you are. Father, so we just ask right now that you'd speak through your word, that we'd be submissive to it. Lord, speak through me. And Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit right now and give me ability for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 21. So before we do that, I want to just give you a little bit of context into what's going on here. If you actually go back, I've got you to John 10. You don't have to go far. Go to John chapter 9. And something happens here, verse 39. Jesus heals a blind man, and after he does it, he says, I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. So he just did a miracle. He healed a blind man, and he makes this statement. And he's basically saying he came to those, to the world, to show those who he is, if they'll see him. He came to show us who he is, if we'll see him. Gord preached last Sunday, the first part of that. Then after that, he goes into what Gord preached on, John 10, 1 to 10. He said, I am the gate. He's basically saying, do you see it? I'm the gate. Verses 1 to 5, he talks about going in and out to find pasture. And he's not talking about just a gate at a border crossing. He's being really specific here to talk about a relationship. He says, I'm the gate. And he starts talking about the gatekeeper. He starts talking about himself as someone that they follow, and he leads them, and they know his voice. So he goes on to describe this, verse 6. If you remember, a bit of this is a refresher on what Gord preached on. But the crowds didn't understand what he was saying. In verse 7 to 10, then, he goes on to explain in a little bit different detail then. And he says, I'm the door of the sheep. Verse 9, he says, and you can almost picture him, he's there, and he's saying this to the crowds, almost hitting his chest and saying, I'm it. I'm the door, right here, look at me. Physically, I could picture him hitting his chest, saying, life is through me, and without me, and only through me, is death. Which brings us now to our passage. John 10, 11 to 21. And he changes again, and he says in verse 11, he says, now I am the good shepherd, which wouldn't have been strange for them. They had lots of shepherds. They wouldn't have been rocked by this comment. Oh my goodness, he's a shepherd. This is just the craziest news we've ever heard. This guy's a shepherd. Well, no, not at all. He says, I am the good shepherd. But then he goes on to say, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now this might have been strange. Perhaps. Shepherds certainly could have been brave. David, we know in 1 Samuel 17, and they would have known this. 34 talks about him risking his life against lions and bears. But maybe at this point they're thinking, okay, this guy's maybe a little extreme though. Is he like David? And he's saying not only he's going to risk his life, but it's strange because he's saying he's actually going to die. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and this shepherd's going to die for sheep. Verse 12 to 15. He says plainly, I am the shepherd. He says, I'm the shepherd of these sheep. I will die for them. I'm not babysitting them. I'm not a hired hand, is the description he uses. He says, actually, he owns these sheep. These sheep are his. This is his flock that he's talking about. And he says he cares for them. Verses 14 to 15, he knows them. And it says that they know him. And he says they know him so much, it's like his relationship with his own father. Just like he knows the father and the father knows him, that's what his sheep are like to him. They know him. So in this description, again, you can picture the crowds, and I don't know if you've seen a theme in the I am statements. This is the theme I've been seeing. Well, there's a couple. This is the one with the people. Is that the people either at this point believe, or they absolutely go the other end. They're totally confused. And I'm wondering if at this point that people were starting to figure out, there's no sheep around. And I don't see a staff. He doesn't look like the pictures I see on Google when I image shepherds. I don't know if this is the guy. They're probably starting to figure this out that maybe, or maybe some of them probably are seriously just confused. Where's the sheep? Who's his father? What's going on? Some of them are maybe starting to pick up, though, and certainly they were, that he's talking about a figure of speech. Especially for the Jews. The Jews would have understood that this was a biblical reference, at least some of them at this point, maybe, to leadership. They would have understood that, more specifically, this was a reference to Moses or David. And then in that, they knew that that meant a Messiah. They would have understood this. This guy right now, this guy saying, it's me, I'm the shepherd. Some of them certainly would have been thinking, this guy's talking Messiah. Micah 5:4, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. They would have perhaps understood that, or even Psalm 23, popular psalm, if you don't know it. I'm sure you've heard it. The Lord is my shepherd. And they would have understood that, maybe some of them, this guy's claiming to be God. Which I find is interesting. If some of them would have thought this, they would have thought, well, he's going to die for his sheep. Wait a second, especially the Jews were that flock. We get this. We know what you're talking about. Ezekiel 37:24. They shall have one shepherd. And then he goes on to say, and he blows this all apart for those that maybe were getting close to understanding. In verse 16, and I think this is a quote from Ezekiel. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. What? He has other sheep, not Jews. He says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And then he says, like Ezekiel, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. But the difference is that he's saying it's for all people. So the question then is, if it's not just for the Jews, and they're hearing this, and it's for, wait a second, there's other sheep in another flock, they're not Jews, then why is he laying down his life for these sheep? You know, maybe they thought, well, these must be pretty valuable sheep. I had a friend of mine, I was going to warn him that I was going to share this, but he made the mistake of telling me that there's guard llamas. And I found that quite comical. And I laughed really hard, and I had to stop myself from laughing so he could continue to tell me about these guard llamas, which apparently are true. I can tell you the name maybe later, and you can ask him about these guard llamas. I would imagine they're worth a lot of money. If a llama can kick butt, he's worth something. And maybe they're thinking these sheep, maybe these are extra special sheep. Maybe they're elite sheep somewhere, a sheep in another flock, a secret. They must be amazing, different than us Jews. Maybe they're hybrids. They're highly trained kung fu guard sheep with merino wool for the ladies. They get to knit their nice scarves. And they're expensive. Maybe that's what they were thinking. Why die for them? Why die for people other than Israel? Certainly he says that he cares for the sheep. He gets that. He cares for them. But you never once, and this is huge in this story, and I want you to hear this. You never once hear a description or get an idea of the value of the sheep or the revenue that's at stake. If he doesn't die for the stake or for the sheep, sorry, he loses everything. You never hear that. And you never hear pressure from his father. His father's pressuring him. You got to do this. Look, I know you don't want to, but you got to do this. Why does he die then? Verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me, that is his life, but I lay it down of my own accord." If that's true, then certainly the crowd's thinking this guy is crazy. He's nuts. He's got apparently other sheep other than us Jews. He's claiming to be God. I can see he has no sheep with him, so he can't even be an actual shepherd. And then he says he's going to die for these sheep. But yet, there's no worth that he's talking about of these sheep. He's not obligated to. And then they say this, and they close in verse 19 and 21. He has a demon. And then others say, and this is again the response of the crowds, isn't it? They say, he's got a demon. This guy's possessed. And then the others say, well, wait a second. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Psalm 146, verse 8, they had known this. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. So that's our story. That's the passage that happened. What was Christ saying? It's interesting that the passage leaves off with, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is an ironic statement. Because Christ is saying to them, do you see who I am? Are your eyes opened? And that's the question I'm going to ask this morning, is do you see the Good Shepherd? He says, the Good Shepherd, I am it. I lay down my life for my sheep. And you might think that's admirable for someone to die for something. I think certainly even today we'd say, oh, that's, you know, you get love songs, I die for you. Man, that's a good love song. Not only would I get you flowers, but I would die for you. That's a good, that one you play for your wife. That's better than the flower song. It's admirable to die. Here's the problem, is that if he's truly a sheep, think about it, even logically. If a shepherd dies for his sheep, that doesn't really make sense, I guess. I mean, if he cares for them, but if there's not a whole lot at stake, why? And then secondly, if a shepherd dies for his sheep, the sheep are left with a dead shepherd. I mean, it's admirable that he would die for them, but he's laying in the field, and he's dead. He's helpless to look after these sheep. But I want you to see, and this is what Christ was saying, is he was saying this is not something that is simply admirable. It was necessary for Christ to die. See, sheep without a shepherd are dead. They're hopeless and lost. And we are told in Scripture that we are dead in our sin. We are helpless. We are lost. We're under the sentence of death, under God's wrath. We are dead sheep. But Christ is our shepherd. And yes, he died for us, but this is the beauty of Easter, is that he rose again. Verse 18, he says, I have the authority to lay it down and to take it up again. This is a shepherd that's not weak. Christ died and he raises himself from the dead to offer us life. And the question again is why? Why would Christ, you've heard it maybe so many times, but I want you to wrestle with this, because this is the gospel. Why would he die for the sheep? Romans 5:8, it's a popular verse. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Not while we were super valuable, really good sheep. In fact, no, we were sinners. 1 John 4:10 says it even more explicitly. It says, in this is love. He even goes to say what it's not. It's not that we have loved God, not that we are good, but that he has loved us. And then it says, what's at stake? He didn't love us because we were so precious. He says, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, satisfy God's wrath. That is an amazing comment. That is something that is unthinkable in our mind. We love things that are lovable or valuable or deserve to be loved. He loves us even though we deserve death. A buddy of mine, pastor friend, he's now moved on and he's still a good friend of mine. He'd said something, this was a while back now, I think a couple years ago, that really stuck with me. He said with his kids, he's got three kids, and he loves to ask them questions at the supper table. He's really good with kids, I'm not, so maybe this is why I grabbed this and thought I can maybe use this. He said this, he said, Pax, does God love you because you're good? He says he always does these things, these questions, to teach his kids. And he says, I love the response of Pax. He knows now. He says, oh, no, Daddy. No, God loves me because he is good. See, that is a remarkable statement from a child. To know at that young age what many of us may never know. God loves you because he is good. That is good news. Psalm 139, we typically go to this in our minds. Verse 14, it says, I actually just read this week. It says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, which is true, knit together in the womb. But I want to be clear, and God's clear in Scripture, that he is not because of that. He gets the glory for that. And he's not because of that obligated to die for you. He is, in fact, as we saw in 1 John 4, he's obligated to punish you for your sins against a holy God. In fact, Psalm 51:5 is one we're less happy about. It says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I was sinful in my mother's womb. Now that is crazy. I want to illustrate this to you so that you can see it. It's quite often here at the church, you can hardly walk in the grass if you've mowed the lawn, if you've signed up for the sign-up sheet, and tried to mow the grass, you'll probably tape your ankles up like a volleyball player next time, because we have so many mounds because of the dew worms. If we have a good storm, and you're buying earthworms at Pudgy's, just come over to the church and collect them off the road, okay? Because there's dew worms everywhere, and some of them are like 5 pounds. It would be very strange if in your attempt in grabbing dew worms, and your passion for fishing, I suppose, or maybe you just love dew worms, that you would jump in front of a car that's speeding like they always do on this corner to save a dew worm that was about to get run over by a vehicle. How absolutely crazy would that be? It's a dew worm. I mean, you maybe die for certainly a child or something valuable in the street, but a dew worm, no one jumps in front of a dew worm. You would not get front page paper. Man, local hero dies saving a dew worm. You wouldn't hear that because it's crazy. And I want you to see plainly that when Christ says, I am the good shepherd, this is an absolutely unreal statement. It's not crazy. This is actually love. He is not obligated. It's not because you are so special, and you'll hear it on the radio. You'll hear other pastors preach it. You're so valuable. You're his most valuable thing. Therefore, he died for you. Well, you better hold your value then. I guess it's up to you. He is so precious. He is good, and that's why he lays down his life for the sheep, because he is good, and it's good news. In fact, when Scripture talks about goodness and value and cost and these things, it doesn't talk about us. It always talks about Christ, and it talks about his blood, and it talks about the cross. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, says this, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. That's why Christ said, I own the sheep. He owns us. What was the cost? What was the worth? The cost was his life. It was Christ himself. That was the cost. The great value was the cross. You see the difference here? The focus is on God. And to God be the glory. Revelation 5:9. And by your blood you ransom people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. You ransomed, you bought back, you purchased. Your NIVs will say purchased. With what? Why? It was with his blood that was the price. John 10:18, Christ said it himself. He's not obligated to die. He willfully dies. So the question this morning that is vital is that, do you see this? 1 Peter 2:24 and 25, if you see it, then you see this. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It's his work. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. And this is what Christ was saying. When he said, I am the good shepherd, he certainly was not saying, hey, look at them. Oh, where'd my sheep go? He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about the sheep that he knows, the souls of men that he has bought with his blood. 1 John 10, Christ was clearly saying this. And he calls all to see. Will you see that I am the good shepherd? Will you be shepherded by me? Will you trust in me so that your soul will be saved? This is an amazing, amazing thing. That's why it's called the good news. So to put some wheels on it this morning, and I ask you a couple of questions in applying it. Can you say that you see the good shepherd? Maybe you're really confused by what we just went through. Can you say that you see the good shepherd? And if you feel like, yeah, I see him, I think I understand that, are you sure it's the shepherd that you see, or do you just see the pasture? Are you a sheep that really, you're in the corner of the field, and you love this corner, it's alfalfa, it's beautiful. I don't know if they, I'm sure they eat alfalfa, everything does, deer do. And I mean, this is juicy alfalfa, and you really don't want the shepherd even around because you don't like people talking while you're eating. I don't like it when I have my kids talking when I'm eating. I eat lobster once every 5 years. And if I do, it's best to have silence in the house so I can concentrate on my lobster, which I love. Are you a shepherd that really, you're so excited about heaven, and you think that's what it means to know the shepherd? But really, you're just in love with heaven. You really don't give a rip about the shepherd now, and really, he just cramps your style. Verse 14, 16, and verse 4 say this, and we read it this morning. It says, my own, if you know him, my own know me. Verse 16, they will listen to my voice. If you go back to verse 4, what Pastor Gord preached on last Sunday, says the shepherd, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. He is clearly talking about not a pasture simply, just get into heaven. He is talking clearly to them about a relationship. This isn't just someone that you knew once, that you prayed a prayer once, and now you're going to heaven and you feel the burden of, I guess, living for him. Then you don't know him. This is someone you trust now. Not that you're perfect in it, but you trust now and you love now. This is what it means to know the shepherd. We went to the air show, whenever that was. And thinking in the air show, it's thought to illustrate this for you. If you love planes, I don't mind planes. But if you love planes, then you're going to talk about planes. Where's Kurt Magnus? Is he here? Okay, Kurt loves planes, right? Jacqueline will probably be saying amen up there. If you love planes, you talk about planes, you read about planes, you hang out, not just with planes, but with other people that love planes, you start to look like a pilot. You just do, because you love planes. If you love planes, you don't just go like me to the air show once every 2 years. If you love planes, it's different. If you love the Lord, if you know this shepherd, if you see him, you know him, then you love him. You talk about him. You hang out with others who love him. You talk with him. You seek him. You listen to him. You're in his word. You love the shepherd. This is good news this morning. If even as I read that list you think, I'm trying, but I don't know. It's different if you love him. And you know your love because he is good. You don't have this heavy load that I need to be good so that I'm loved by him. You just need to trust him, to see that he's good. And what will happen is you'll start to look like Christ. If you love him, if you love planes, you look like a pilot. If you love Christ, you start to look like Christ. And it's good. But for most of us, Scripture says the road is broad. And for most of us, we see Christ like the hired hand. You don't know him. You know of him. You know details of him. You know he's coming. You know, I guess he's coming over today. He's looking after us. And you kind of know his credentials. You know sort of what he looks like. You know where he'll be in the field. But you don't know him. You certainly don't trust him. And if something bad happens and you're trying to convince the hired hand that you're worth something, you're trying to convince him, look, save me. And you're calling out to him for the first time, and now you're wanting to know him. And you're hoping, you're crossing your fingers that you've done enough. Many people die, or before they die, they hope they've done enough. If you ask them, are you ready to see your shepherd? They say, well, I sure hope I've done enough. I sure hope he's gracious to me. And you're treating him like a hired hand. I can tell you certainly that if you know the shepherd, you know that he loves you. You know it because he's good. That is a security that is out of this world. That is good news. And you're going to be tested. To say this, if you know him, then you know he loves you because he is good. Like Derek's boy said, oh, there, now you know who it is. No, Daddy, God loves me because he is good. And if that's the case, then certainly now it's different. Following him, obeying him, we trust him. Right? No matter where he leads. And this, I might rattle it off and you'll say, yeah, no matter where he leads. You bet, Kyle. Yeah. Because he's good. Yeah, because he's good. And I want to tell you that you're going to be tested in this. You're going to be tested in this perhaps every day. Because Satan, too, knows that if you really know that he's good, your life will radically change for the kingdom. You'll start pointing people to him, to this good shepherd. You'll start living differently. You'll start getting free from sin. You start living for him as if he is the good shepherd. And so you're going to be tested in this. And you might be tested even by the Lord in this, not tempted, may be specific to say or clear to say tested in this, so that you would grow, even to be disciplined by God, so that you would know how good he is. Because to know how good he is safety. And so there's going to come times where you're not going to feel it. Our society, especially, even kids, you're growing up, you're getting taught this like crazy. Feelings and statistics, what everyone feels and does, that is what is truth. And by the way, there's no truth anyhow. So there's going to come times where you don't feel this. I promise you there'll be times where you leave today, you might say, yeah, the Lord is good, but you won't feel like it. Psalm 23, verse 4. One of my favorite verses in Scripture. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, where's the shepherd? It says, I will fear no evil. Well, why? For you are with me. This is remarkable. You will go through shadows. Valley of shadows of death. The darkest places you can think of in your life. Why are you not to be scared? Because he is with you. He is good. It's not that the valley you won't go through, perhaps, but he is good. And you're going to be tempted to run away from him. When you feel like you want to obey, you're maybe scared where he's going to lead you. Maybe you don't want to confront. I'll give you just a couple examples of this. One of them is one I seem to see lots. You know, if I could take one of the things out of the church, if the Lord said to me today, you take this sin out, what would it be? First thing comes to my mind, maybe I should give this more thought, but if knee-jerk reaction, I'd say offense to people. Division among people. Lack of forgiveness. Not confronting. Holding grudges. Those sorts of things. There's going to be times where you want to obey, but you're going to say, I'm not going to talk to so-and-so because it's not going to make any difference. Oh, they'll misunderstand me. Oh, it's not a big deal. I'm telling you that if you trust the Good Shepherd, then you obey him wherever that goes. And you just obey. I'm going to talk to that person, and yeah, I don't know if they're going to respond. I don't know where it'll go. They'll probably rip my face off. I think it'll be misunderstood, but I'm going to do it. Why? If it's truly meant to be happening, then it's because God is good. Maybe it's tithing. I tithe, but I don't know where that's going to take me. You see, finances are tight. We got one income. It's not very much. We've also got these debts. We've got this and that and the other thing, and you'll never tithe because you're going where you want to go. If it's unbiblical, then you need to figure that out. If it's of the Lord, then you do it no matter where he leads. You repent of sin. Well, no, I don't want to repent of sin because if I do that, I don't know where it's going to go. If I do that, I'm just going to feel guilty. If I call it for what it is, I mean, maybe God's done with me then. That's a lie. You go there because he is good. Do you see where this is going? And I've been praying for you that you can, that the Holy Spirit will show you, that you can see where this goes. When we say he is good and you go wherever he leads, this will radically change your life. I pray that you have this happen in your week this week. There's a time where you're about to do something, but you're not gonna because you're scared where it's gonna go, and you do it. He is good. Listen to your shepherd. Know his voice. Follow him. Worship him. Listen to his word. You know, look at these things. If you don't want to be around Christians, that's a problem. If you don't want to be around people, and every time they bring up talking of this shepherd, the Lord, and you're like, yeah, I just want to talk about fishing. That's a problem. You don't know the shepherd. Share your faith. You want to grow your confidence in who God is, you start talking about him. Talk about this person that you love. Pray and ask God to show you how good he is. This week, I challenge you to do that. You know, we had, Albert was pastoring here for a while, Pastor Albert. It might have been 5-6 years ago already. He's about 70 years old. Albert was a remarkable man. Not because he was extra good, because he knew how good God was. He would, and you remember, if you were here, how many people remember Albert? Okay, quite a few. And for those of you who don't, then you can hear this. He would weep preaching often. And the times that were guaranteed weep, like you could like place your bets, was when, whether preaching or whether you're talking to him after the service or wherever, and you just said, Albert, talk to me about the Lord. And he would talk to you about walking with the Lord. And he would cry every time, like I'm thinking of right now. And I'd say, I want to go on those walks. He'd talk about Saskatchewan River, and just for an example, literally walking, and he'd just weep. He couldn't talk to you about it. Why? Because he knew his God. He knew his shepherd. And I challenge you this, and every time that I do this, I can sense that people get upset. Oh, here's a bunch of stuff he wants me to change. I know that Albert, the music he was listening to and the TV he wasn't watching. Now, I'm not saying all music is garbage and all TV is garbage, just about, on the TV end of it. But I tell you this, test what you're listening to. Even Christian songs, some of them are garbage. Same to your kids at supper today. Whatever you listen to today or through this week, just pick your top favorites and just read the lyrics to your kids. You know, if you're delighting in other things, you're not delighting in the Lord. If you're walking with the world and you take in everything of the world, you're not going to know your God. And the same thing with the programs. Talk to your kids about them. Hey, I watched this program, this movie, and go through every detail with them. Lastly, I just want to say this, and I know that it's on a lot of your minds because it's been so close, is Isabel Davis passed away, and we had the funeral here on Thursday. It was an awesome funeral. It was just a a worship service is what it was. It was just incredible. And Isabel had said something at the funeral. You've heard this already, but I'll say it again. She often said, and I can remember her doing this, she would grab your hand, squeeze it, and she wouldn't let go. And she would always pull you close because she couldn't see. And she'd say, you know, she'd talk to you, right? But she would often say, it's good to know the Lord. I know many of you knew that. Okay, she was 95 years old. She passed away here not too long ago. And I want to ask you again, Christ said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I'm it. I'm right here. Do you see me? I'm the good shepherd. And I want to ask you again, do you know him as the good shepherd? Do you really know him? Do you just know of him? Did you talk to him once in a prayer? Or do you know the good shepherd? He is good. And it is good to know the Lord. It's good news. And then I challenge lastly, just trust and follow him no matter where he leads you. And that is going to be tough, but you're going to have to come back to continually, no, God is good. And he is good, so praise the Lord.